The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Not all doom and gloom. Lots of people are still cheering what they would do if they won 250 million euro in the Euro Millions. That ticket sold in Munster. Munster man, Fionnán Sheehan with me. I guess because Fionnán is here.
The fact that I'm here now would kind of rule me out.
Probably wouldn't win it.
Be on my list of priorities.
I'm a bit disappointed now, Fionnán, by that. I thought maybe you'd still have come in.
I'd be off buying up the best hurlers in the country, you know, to line out for Tipperary.
Oh, yeah.
With my 250 million.
I still think there's a chance of a Tip-Kilkenny final. Wouldn't that be something? Fionnán is the Ireland editor for the Irish Independent. You don't need me to tell you that. And Gerard Howland is with us as well, public affairs consultant and Irish Times columnist. Not to talk about the lotto, to talk about the aura. And the fact that, so few people have kind of publicly put their hands up and declared an interest beyond Conor McGregor. Behind the scenes, Fionnán, how many people are beavering away?
Yeah, so, I mean, you've had more people, I suppose, ruling themselves out. Serious people. Heather Humphreys, Francis Fitzgerald, Michael McDool. Barry Andrews, only last weekend we were talking to him in the Irish Independent, and he said openly, look, my name has been linked with it, but I ain't running, and here's what I think needs to be brought to the table next. So there are very serious vacancies on the ticket. I think as of now, the only name you would look at and say, well, that name will be on the ticket is Mairead McGuinness. And again, she hasn't declared as such, but I mean, all of her actions to date and the fact she hasn't ruled herself out and the fact she's shown an interest in this role previously would certainly suggest there is an interest there. Fine Gael will also have Sean Kelly throwing shapes if she isn't interested. But then beyond that, you're kind of looking at it going, where are the obvious places where you're definitely going to need faces on the ticket? Fianna Fáil is back as the largest party in the country. No obvious contender there. There are names, but all come with certain baggage attached or conflicts. Sinn Féin, again, as a now a medium to large size party, will certainly be expected to run a candidate, somebody who would advance the cause of United Ireland and so on. But again, nobody obvious there. And then this idea of a unified left candidate of Labour, the Social Democrats, the Greens, Independents, maybe even Sinn Féin, all aligning behind one candidate, a la Mary Robinson back in 89-90. Is that a prospect? Again, we're unclear that there is any clear name there, not alone who one of those parties would put up, but who would actually unify all of them together.
Is there a prevailing view, Gerard, amongst kind of party apparatchiks when it comes to the presidential election? Is it something they look at with any degree of enthusiasm or just something to endure for a few months?
No, just little enthusiasm. It's expensive. Money was spent in the general election, so nobody has a bag of money to spend on this. Secondly, I think it's increasingly risk fraught rather than with opportunity. I think you're going to have the shortest ballot paper since Tom O'Higgins faced off against Erskine Chillers in 1973. I think you'll have a very short campaign. I think people who may be serious want that shorter campaign rather than a longer one. I think Mairead McGuinness is likely to be a Fine Gael candidate, and after that, I could speculate endlessly, but I really don't have any idea. Catherine Connolly has certainly been mentioned. Independent TD in Galway West has certainly been mentioned as a left candidate. Interestingly, she's independent because of a very bitter break with Michael D. Higgins in Galway donkeys years ago. So to see her coming up the drive, measuring the windows for the curtains, would be very interesting to see the look on the Higgins's face. But aside, she would be a credible candidate. And there are other people who are not in the ring. Somebody like, for example, the former Irish Congress of Trade Unions leader, Patricia King. She is somebody who theoretically, I think, could unify a considerable focus on the left, but she's not at the races. And then left, and I think Fionnán put his finger on this, left, does that or does it not include Sinn Féin? Because if there's a unified left candidate, there's a chance. But if the left splits, as the left does, well, they have much less of a chance.
Mm. And then from an individual point of view, what puts people off, do you suspect?
Hardship, abuse. It has been
the campaign is what puts them off rather than the job.
Yeah, and people who, good people, with good reputations, who went in, and I'm thinking of Mary Davis, Special Olympics. I'm thinking of Joan Freeman, Pieta House, who are estimable and fine people. I mean, they were incinerated.
Is that something that's going
Mary
to
Robinson
get...
Robinson is probably the only one who has survived a genuine firestorm. Yes, yeah. To a degree, you'd argue Mary McAleese got a bit of flack. But Mary Robinson, when you look at the vituperation that was directed towards her, particularly from the Fianna Fáil ranks at that particular time, she came through it. Eddie Roach, who then subsequently ran as the Labour Party candidate the next time out, didn't survive basically the first weekend.
No, the last loser in a presidential campaign who had a happy campaign and came out well was Mary Bonatti. She did well, she came out enhanced. She obviously must have been very disappointed to lose, but you could say she was a bigger, better person. But all the others, it was damaging, hurtful, and an unpleasant memory.
And given the amount of content people create and how easy it is to kind of search for what people have said in the past, much easier now than it was in years gone by, that's going to put people off to a greater degree, is it? Like every utterance is out there and it's going to be quickly found.
There is a view...
You're not pouring through kind of letters that David Norris might have sent at one point in the past.
I was getting vibes in Fianna Fáil last weekend and people were saying to me, look, it's too early, we'll come back to it after the summer. Why put somebody out there now who's just going to get shot at for the whole of the summer? If you're running as the Fianna Fáil candidate, you have to be a big name in your own right. You have a big beast of a party behind you. Therefore, you're not some nobody who needs to build up a bit of profile. So you wait until later in the game. Fine Gael have taken it from a different perspective. Simon Harris has set out his thought. He's appointed a group to kind of look at how the nomination process will work. They have a very clear nomination process. We're kind of expecting at the moment that will happen at the end of July before the summer break. That's what they did with Gay Mitchell back in 2011. But again, they could hold off and say, look, we'll wait till August, into September. You'll then get into candidates who will be looking down the council routes. That won't happen until September, October meetings ahead of a November election. The big question, I suppose, will be, we're used to Sinn Féin kind of a name emerging rather than some form of process, I suppose. That's just the way the party operates. Within Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin has decided, A, do we run a candidate? And B, if we do, is it my candidate or is it somebody else, such as Bertie Ahern? Can he come through the process when it's basically the 71 TDs?
Bertie's just gaslighting me on Martin, isn't he?
He is gaslighting, but at the same time, he is a credible person, though. I mean, he does have a distinguished career. He does have vast experience. He is somebody who can actually do the job quite formidably. But obviously, he brings all of his baggage around his personal finances, the crash of the economy, and so on. And therein lies the difficulty. Mairead McGuinness has this advantage that she both has a name herself. She is somebody who has held high office over the course of the last decade and is also backed by a large party. So she is the one who is kind of the early pace setter here, and everybody else is going to be looking at it going, well, can I actually beat her?
The fewer official candidates emerge, or candidates supported by the bigger parties, Gerard, does that make it easier possibly for a more fringe candidate, a Conor McGregor, for example, to get the nomination from local authorities? That there might be councillors out there who will kind of take a democratic view of this and say, listen, if there's so few candidates on the page, you know what, there's an argument that we actually give people a choice here.
Yeah, so some candidates have benefited from that sentiment. McGregor won't. You're very flahoolock with the use of the word big and bigger. If you go back to 2011, peak Labour after the Gilmore Gael, Fine Gael was peak Fine Gael. Fianna Fáil was shattered, but the husk of the organisation on the ground was still there. All of that, these are famine villages now in terms of local organisation. So the parties are not worth nearly as much to a candidate now as they have been even in relatively recent elections.
But you have to tell that to the party, though. I mean, Micheál Martin had an easier message. Even that was awkward back in 2011. You know, there was the whole zag around Gay Byrne running as an independently endorsed Fianna Fáil candidate because they weren't going to run anybody themselves. They were on their knees at the time. They'd almost been wiped out only 6 months earlier, and yet there was an expectation of the party, we have to contest. This time around, what's his answer? We're a medium-sized party. We're the biggest in the country by popular vote and by by parliamentary numbers, and we're going to be abstaining from the election and letting basically the Fine Gael candidate be the de facto centre-right government coalition candidate.
Gerard, how much pressure would you think it be on Micheál Martin and senior figures within Fianna Fáil to run a candidate for the reasons Fionnán says?
I think there will be less pressure on him in the Fianna Fáil party rooms than there is in this studio.
Really?
Yes.
Well, it's Micheál's party now. I mean, most of the TDs and senators who you look at now, you know, they're people who have come up through Micheál Martin's times. He is the one who has gone out canvassing with them, picked them, being benevolent to them over the time. So, you know, he'll benefit from that if somebody who's coming forward is from a previous generation to whom people don't really have any loyalty.
And this moment, a couple of months after the election, when he did very well, this is maximum Micheál, historically.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't be crossed, and it will be as he wishes.
But as you quite rightly point out, I mean, you know, you'd kind of... peak Fine Gael popularity when Gay Mitchell failed to take off at all around the country. I mean, is there any pattern that we can discern from previous presidential elections, following on from maybe the previous general election, that might suggest who has a better chance, even at this point, before we know the candidates?
No, and why do people go up and smoke and others don't, and increasingly more and more go up and smoke? It's something that there's some little flaw that's magnified and you never get past it. Or that somehow you've said something somewhere, or somehow that your CV, which is very impressive in a context, just doesn't hold true in a broader context out in public. And I'll tell you this, those two referendums that were lost, that softened a lot of people's cuff in terms of thinking that they have the power of persuasion that they thought they had. There's a lesson there that unless you prepared very long and deep, you're taking your chances in an increasingly volatile, sceptical electorate.
Also, the context. Yeah. I mean, if it was held at the moment, I mean, Maria McGuinness has just been bombarded with questions about her term in the European Commission alongside Ursula von der Leyen and Ursula von der Leyen's allegiances with Israel. And the whole campaign would end up about being a referendum on Gaza and whether we wanted Mairead McGuinness to be candidate. We don't know where that situation is going to be in 6 months' time. I can't imagine that it'd be completely dissipated. So the timing and the context does come into it as well. You have to be the candidate who is arriving on the scene just at the right time. Michael Dee's run into the box, as you put it in hurling terms, was quite perfect. David Norris peaked during the summer and flayed off. Fine Gael didn't take off. Fianna Fáil stood back. Other independents made a charge, but ultimately fell short. And Michael Dee was, if you look at that campaign, ultimately he was last man standing. Everybody else had severe damage inflicted upon them at one point or another in that campaign. And Michael Dee was the only one who didn't. And that's how
very loquacious man, his success in that campaign was saying a lot less.
So keep the head down and say nothing is the advice. There was an anti-government, anti-mainstream protest vote that eventually coalesced around Peter Casey. The last time he ended up with 20-odd% of the vote. I mean, so that's still out there. It didn't coalesce around the kind of Sinn Féin candidate as maybe they hoped it would. Would it suggest that, you know, somebody, if it's not going to be Conor McGregor, is going to try and take advantage of that?
Yeah, well, certainly there to be taken if there's a candidate to do it. But a candidate of that ilk would find it difficult to get on the ballot. And then if there's a left candidate, if the left is not divided, enough of that could come to make a left candidate successful.
All right. Ultimately, it ends up as a personality contest, does it? Fionnán?
No, I don't think so. I think policy perspective does come into it in terms of the vision that you are putting forward for the presidency. And Michael Dee has unquestionably changed that perspective. There will be a lot of question marks.
But Gerard just said, he kind of didn't say a lot.
He said a lot more since. In a way, by the way, that is... depending on your perspective, has either changed the office or damaged it.
Yeah, but to get elected, you know, he didn't say these things.
No, he certainly didn't outline that every day of the week he would be making another
remember him.
On government policy.
You know, they're all standing in the studio, they're all standing behind their podium, and Michael Dee said, I have been a cabinet minister, I have the experience, I know the boundaries, and they were the very same boundaries he precisely trampled over when it suited subsequently and frequently.
Yeah, now, if anything, though, he has also proven through all of these utterances, which have had very little impact, the limitations of the office are so severe that it doesn't really matter. You could put somebody in there Donald Trump who could go on style going on Truth Social every day and making some pronouncement. It doesn't impact daily life.
Gerard Howden, public affairs consultant, Irish Times columnist, Fiona Sheehan, Ireland editor for the Irish Independent. Thank you both very much. Just stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.